I want us to dive into a couple of scriptures here and fasten your seatbelts because we're going to maybe go in a little bit different direction than some of you might have expected. First verse is Ephesians 6:18. This is at the end of the Armor of God section. Many of you are familiar with it. And it ends in verse 18, Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, in a sense, our praying for Burma was a part of praying for all the saints, praying again for the ministry over there. But notice what it says here. Pray in the Spirit, that means led by the Holy Spirit, on how many occasions? All occasions. And what types of prayers? All kinds of prayers and requests. It's a part of our growing in Christ that we learn many different types and ways of praying. Now, some people will be more proficient in some ways of praying than others. That's a part of the beauty of the body of Christ. So, keeping that in mind, let's go back now to Exodus chapter 30. And the situation here is that after God rescued his people from slavery and bondage in Egypt through sending Moses, they were rescued out of Pharaoh's hands, they were delivered miraculously through the Red Sea, and now God is establishing a people who know him, who love him, and who are to bear witness to him to the nations so that they too would know how to worship God. So he is establishing right worship with them. And they had a tabernacle that was built according to specifications, just right. And that was the center of worship, the center of where they would connect with God. And by the way, as many of you know, this is fulfilled in Jesus, who is our tabernacle. He came and tabernacled among us. And we worship God through faith in Christ. And we now are God's tabernacle. The Holy Spirit fills us. We're the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3. But what this is showing here is that in verse, we're going to be starting at verse 26 through 30, is that as a part of what God wanted to do to honor his name is he set things and people apart for his glory. To sanctify means to set apart. That's where our word sanctuary comes from. It's a place set apart for worship of God. And so to help them have a visible awareness of this and a sign, they had anointing oil. And let's read what is said here. I'll go ahead and read this beginning in verse 26 of chapter 30. Then use it, meaning the anointing oil, to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of testimony, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy, and whoever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. So what God is doing here is he saying, take this holy oil and then go through all the tabernacle, anointing all the parts of the tabernacle. Set them apart for my glory. But not just things. Then anoint Aaron and his sons. Set them apart as the go-betweens, as priests. Now, we do much the same thing. We set things apart. We often pray for one another, sometimes with anointing of oil. Because now with the priesthood of all believers, we are all serving Christ. And when we are set apart and we set things apart, like this facility for God's glory, it doesn't mean that the rest of our life, where we live, where we work, and all that, is outside of God's parameter. Actually, when we are anointed to serve Christ, we make our homes, we make our workplaces, we make our schools sacred by our presence. In other words, we represent Christ there. But we also know the reality of it is that even though we go forth with a desire to serve Christ, we get dirtied up. We fail at times. We need re-anointing. Just like what Brian was saying earlier, we need that kind of a refreshing, a refilling. And so that's why we pray for one another again and again, that we may be consecrated to go out and serve Christ. I mean, it's also why we pray again and again for this facility, because we want to, again, we want this to be used for God's glory and use. You know, by us and by the Poly Church, by all who come here, that they would sense this place resonates with the presence of God. And we've had people do that. We've had people who've never been here before come in here and tell us, wow, we sense the presence of God. Well, that's God's grace. It's not any button on our cap, but it's because we want this place to be used for God's glory. And we know that it's only by prayer that anything that builds the kingdom is able to be done, which is why at the very center of our philosophy of ministry here at FTPC is prayer. And that's where Ephesians 6:18 comes in. We learn all types of prayers and requests, because prayer is submitting to God and saying, we need your guidance, we need your power to do what we could never do on our own. But it's more than that. It's also, we come in prayer because, Father, we want to be in connection with you through Christ. It's a relationship. We cultivate that. And in prayer, we remember that this life, this world, this facility, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about glorifying God. And so we pray. And that's why for a number of years now, we've had an annual event we call the Lenten Prayer Cleansing Service. Just like many people do a spring cleaning in their home, it's like a spiritual spring cleaning of this place, and just asking God again to just bless and anoint this place. Last Sunday, most of you are here, and you remember Bea gave a wonderful explanation of what this is about, you know, the Lenten Prayer Cleansing Service, which was last Tuesday night. And then we had an unsolicited endorsement from John Fertakis about how significant spiritually it is to be doing this. And maybe he had been peeking ahead at Exodus 30 or something. He knew how important it is. And so with this, these endorsements, we gathered last Tuesday. Now, when we've done this through the years, we've had usually about 8 to 16 people come. It'll vary some from year to year. A few years, we've done it on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, and then had the youth group join us. And sometimes then we have more than 30 people, you know, going around in teams and praying over the whole facility. So this last Tuesday, we gathered, and there was a grand total of four of us. There was Jeanette and I, and then Gary and Claire Tate. They're always here. Well, I mean, they don't live here, but they always come to the Lenten prayer service. And so, you know, one of the things is that, and I'll be honest here, I initially was disappointed. But the Lord didn't let me park there. Because one of the things we always want to do is say, okay, Lord, what are you showing? Is there something you're wanting to teach us? Is there something here that we may be missing? And even as I began thinking about that Tuesday evening, I began to get excited. I began to think, I'm sensing, Holy Spirit, that you have an assignment here that I think is going to be exciting. And I shared that Wednesday morning with the group that prays here, and we all kind of resonated with that. Remember one of the discernment questions? Remember we looked at that a few weeks ago? How do we discern what's of the Holy Spirit? It exalts Jesus Christ. It's always in tune with the Bible. Other Christians attest to it, and then there's fruit from that. So I shared this on Wednesday morning, and others really attested to this. And what I thought was, I think this year what the Lord is saying is, instead of having a Lenten prayer cleansing service on Tuesday, like we'd planned, he wants it today. This is the first Sunday of Lent. And so we're going to do a Lenten prayer cleansing service today. And for many of you, that's going to be a first-time thing. So now, we've already locked the door, so you can't leave yet. So you might as well just stay and hear what this is about. You know, as we thought about, okay, why is it that maybe only four showed up? Now, one of the, you know, Bea, who gave this great announcement, she didn't come. I knew that she had a conflict in her schedule. I knew of some others that had conflicts in their schedule that usually come. I think the Lord maybe arranged that. Others were sick. And then others, I think many people, and I know you all pray, so I'm not denying that. But I think many people look at this and think either they don't see the significance of that, or they think, well, that is great, but I don't know how to pray like that. I can pray a blessing over a meal. I can pray a blessing for my family. But Lenten prayer cleansing, I don't know how to do those prayers. Well, we can learn. You know, one of the passages that came to mind Tuesday night, because actually with the four of us, what we did, instead of doing a prayer cleansing service, we just went around the sanctuary and we prayed blessing over all the people that come, like you guys. And it was really neat to do that. And that wasn't my idea. You know, the Holy Spirit brought that up with a couple of the others among us four, and we all resonated. Yeah, let's do that. But here's a passage that came even Tuesday night, and that's Luke 10. That was where Jesus, besides the 12, he had a number of other people following him. And in Luke 10, he sent 72 of them out two by two to go ahead of him to the villages where he was going to be coming. They went out and they proclaimed the kingdom of God. They healed the sick. They cast out demons. And you think, wait a minute, these guys haven't been through theological school? I mean, it's even before the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. They don't even have a full grasp of who he is yet. So we think, well, what's Jesus doing sending them out? They could really blow it. But that's why he sent them out. He said, I know that you're going to be following me. You're going to learn on the job. And as they went, they learned. They learned that by God's grace, just like we heard Dave just say on there, it's by grace. We're saved by grace, we do anything. And so they learned as they went. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And let me explain how we're going to do that. Because we have less time to pray, but we have more people, we're going to have more teams than we usually do. Usually we have four teams, but we have 11 this morning. 11 teams, and they're subdivided into very specific areas where they will pray. And what will they do? They will, each team has a facilitator. It's already been designated. They will take one of these anointing oils, and then anyone on the team can use this, and you just go around and discreetly anoint areas, inside or outside, wherever your assigned area is. By discreet, it means not a huge, you know, you make a sign of the cross, not a huge thing right in the middle of a window that would kind of stand out. But like, you know, if you're anointing the communion table, make a little sign of the cross in the back right here. We're just setting everything apart. And the facilitators, they'll be kind of the watchkeepers. We'll give you a set time because we want everyone to come back. We're going to do a little debrief together. They'll kind of watch the time. But anyone in the group can pray in any given group. I'm going to hope that we get a minimum three in each group. And then anyone does not have to pray. You may just go along and be praying in your heart, and that's fine. But if you feel led to pray over the particular area you go, then that's fine as well. And then some of you may think, either because of physical limitations, you think, well, I'd rather not have to go walking around being a part of a team. Well, there's going to be two teams in the sanctuary here. And if either physical limitations or this is maybe just a little too much for me right now, you can pray just by staying in your seat and just praying for those teams that are in here and praying for those going around just in the quietness of your heart. You're welcome just to stay there. But that's how we're going to do this. So if you look in your bulletin, you'll notice there is a yellow insert sheet that lists the 11 anointing teams. And what I want you to do is take a minute now, look through those teams. Some of you may have an area say, yeah, this is where I want to go. For example, if you're really involved with the youth groups, you may want to go to where one of the youth group rooms meet. Or if you're really involved in, you really like to welcome people, you may want to be with a group that does the entryway, where people first come into the church. So you may have a preference. On the other hand, you may want to be a part of a team, but you're willing to be a floater to make sure every team has three. So just take a moment, look over the different 11 teams where they will be assigned, and then we will do some divvying up. Yes, question.
Should we send a team down into the fellowship hall and kitchen to get the whole church?
Yeah, I'll explain that in a moment. Yeah. Okay, here are the facilitators and the groups. The outside team number one that'll go counterclockwise, Ben Linscott's going to be facilitating that group. He very wisely brought along a bunch of umbrellas. But it looks, at least right now, like we may be, we're working okay. And then they'll start there and just go along the two edges there. And then Donna is going to take outside group number two and start up at the southwest corner and go that side by the prayer garden and down this side. So, you don't have to stand up yet, but that's what they're doing. Downstairs nurseries and electrical room, Lori Grimm will be doing those rooms. And then downstairs high school and junior church room, Jeanette will be leading them. And then the downstairs fellowship hall and kitchen, not minus the junior church room, will be Leern. Now, word about those three groups. There's people downstairs. So, and they've been notified ahead of time. So, like with the nursery, I think Lori and her team can just bless those nurseries and then just bless the people. Maybe even hold hands with them and just have a prayer with them. Lisa's doing junior church this morning, so Jeanette and her team, Lisa knows they're going to be interrupted at some point. That's fine. I've talked to Pastor Gopi of the Nepali Church. He knows that we're going to be coming downstairs. And so, again, Leern with the downstairs fellowship kitchen team can just pray over the facilities down there and just pray blessing over any of the people there in the kitchen. I mentioned this to the ladies in the kitchen, but I don't know if they speak English, so it could still be a surprise. Pastor Gopi speaks English, so maybe he told them. Yeah, so anyway. The smiles always work, the love. The entryway over here, Al and Sally are going to be doing that along also with the downstairs hallway and bathrooms. Upstairs parlor, music closet, kitchen and bathrooms, Mike Gilbert will be leading that. Upstairs prayer room, junior high room and library, Dick will be doing that one. Upstairs narthex and the two offices, Gary Tate and Claire Tate will be doing that. Sanctuary 1, which is up front here, Jenny will be leading that group. Sanctuary number 2 is the rest of the sanctuary here. B will be leading that group. Now, to assure that we get three in each team, I'd like those facilitators to stand now because you know who's doing what. Okay, those are the facilitators. And in fact, Jenny, if you can come up front here, and then what I'd like to do, boy, we got a bunch of facilitators over here. You guys are all bunched together. Okay, Lori. And Dick, why don't you go back over there since you're going to be going in that direction anyway. And B, you'll move back. Now, you know which group you want to go to and who's doing what. I'd like to ask you to, if you're wanting to go with one of these teams, please stand now and go with one of your teams. Oh, and by the way, plan to be back here and Ben and the rest of you, come back by 5 till. Okay, 5 till, you've got 15 minutes. Thank you.
Come back in, folks, and have a seat. As you finish up, other groups will be joining us here shortly. You notice, even though I tried to say be back by 5 till, you know, once people get into ministry and prayer, see, it's a blessing. And so gradually the teams are coming back. We have one of our outside teams has returned, so they're still coming. What we're doing is you come in, we're just taking any testimonies, any questions, any input that anyone has about what you've just done.
I'm amazed at how good it feels now.
Oh, okay. She can feel a change and amazed how good it is. It feels lighter.
And it smells really good.
And it smells good. There is something that, you know, that it's a, and if you don't feel it, that's okay, but some people are more feelers, and there is a sensitivity the Holy Spirit gives to just kind of, to give testimony to us that yes, this is important. God is blessed. He's pleased when we say, we want you to be glorified. Yeah, good. The relax, I would say, is the peace of God, His presence here.
And I think it's an encouragement to me whenever I come into this place to pray.
Yes.
And the thing what we did today, anytime we're here, we can do that as we are about whatever business.
Ah, good. If you didn't hear that, what she's saying is an encouragement to her to do this every time she comes here to pray blessing over this place. Yeah, great. And our homes, yes. Yes, set them apart. Yes, Jeanette?
About a week ago or this last week sometime, you know, we were talking about this at home. You know, I said, you know, I'm really more of a doer than a going around and anointing person. And so it's kind of nice being married to Nick because he could refresh my mind about, okay, here's what Scripture says about this. Here's why we do this, you know. And I've done it before. I do enjoy it. But it's not my first line of doing or, you know, not maybe my comfort zone at some times, or I don't feel like I do it as well as those who are really intercessors or something. But I think that could have been just some little jabs, too, because you know, I just kind of needed to settle down, I guess.
And then you wound up facilitating one of the prayer teams. So it's great. Of course, I asked her to, but anyone else? We still have teams out there praying. Let me share with you something that has already been testified that I didn't want to tell you ahead of time. But in that Luke 10 passage, when Jesus sent them out two by two, and it undoubtedly was a scary thing for them to go out without him right being there with them. Now, of course, the Spirit was with them, but they didn't really understand that all yet. But do you remember what Luke says happened when they came back to Jesus after this adventure?
They came back rejoicing.
They were rejoicing. They were going, wow, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. They, in other words, it was scary going out, but then they came back saying, we see why you did this, Jesus. That was important. And then do you remember what Jesus said to them, what they are to rejoice in? Yeah, rejoice in your relationship. This is all about relationship with me. And that's what he said. That's what you rejoice in. And so that, I think, has already been testified here. You were able to experience something that in stepping out in faith, and then you go, wow, that was really a blessing. I sense a lightning, and I sense the presence of the Lord. That's his promise to us when we step out in obedience and we pray in prayers like you've done. Yes?
There was a blessing in the nursery. Well, not the nursery, junior church room, that there were about 4 or 5 Nepali children in there sitting with our kids, and as Lisa was doing junior church, that was really a blessing.
That's great. Okay. As you teams are coming back now, You're given great grace for being tardy, but that's quite fine because you are doing the Lord's work out there. And we've been giving testimonies here of what people have sensed happened in their own lives and right here doing that. Because like Luke 10 says, they came back rejoicing because they'd taken these steps of obedience. And I want to thank you because I knew going into this would be a stretch of faith for some, but it also be that stretch that deepens your faith. You know, and I believe there's going to be fruit. There already we've seen some fruit just in individual testimonies here. I believe there's fruit that will be for the kingdom of God because of our faithfulness in setting this place apart for God's glory.
Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify us, set us apart holy through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the day of Jesus Christ coming. The one who calls us to this is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.